10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program where we examine reality through the lens of spiritual and biblical truth, and where we shine the light and expose the lies. If you're taking notes, the website is watchmenscry.com. Today, I'm going to continue to uncover the information and the report of what time it is. And we're also going to take a peek behind the facade that overlooks the sleeping village of make-believe. My friends, make-believe is the force of theater, but it also has a grasp on the drowsy ones in your city. And this is why this program exists, to wake up the prisoners who have no knowledge of their chains. And in these end times, there is a fog that is moving across the land. It's a fog that numbs most of the people to the real issues. It's an opium that continues to captivate and hypnotize. But ladies and gentlemen, we have the antidote. We have the truth, the light, and we also have the answer. His name is Jesus. That's right, folks. A spiritual remedy to combat the mess of this world, and also the mess that so many people are in. Ladies and gentlemen, today's program will be very action-packed and informative. It's going to include some disclosure from my heart. It's going to be full of challenges for you to prayerfully consider. My topics are going to cover the approaching season, a season when America will experience great duress that will be caused by disunity and division here in these United States. The future of America is going to see a narrative that will evolve into a detonation that will partition this land into civil war. So ladies and gentlemen, I sadly have to announce that a civil war is coming to America. It's going to play out, and we're going to see different regions of the Union become agitated into a frenzy of violence. And over the past few weeks, as I have been seeking God and seeking the scriptures and praying about this whole matter, I'm beginning to see a picture of how this thing is going to germinate. I'm beginning to see the canvas of how the grumblings of discontent will become snarls of the disheartened. And then they will erupt into the rumbles of thunder and fire of inner war. So folks, this is going to be a heavy-duty program that will reveal a very pertinent prophetic warning. It's going to disclose some very important information that you need to know about. Folks, I cannot say that enough. Today's program is going to be a trumpet blast from the wall. And by the way, I'm not going to give you an echo of something that's being recycled from the internet. I'm going to share a very somber warning that has been birthed by the Holy Spirit. So please pay attention to this program. Now, I have a lot of information that I need to talk about today, so this program is going to be long. But please listen to all of it. And also take notes and get your Bibles. And after you're finished listening to it, I want to challenge you to pray. My friends, we need to be praying hard right now. You need to be praying for yourself, for your family, for your souls, and for the souls of your loved ones. We are in the end times. And according to the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, we have been shown the things that are going to happen in the end times. We have been shown through Bible prophecy things that would be taking place on this earth involving man, involving politics, involving kingdoms. There are mighty events coming toward us like a speeding bullet train. So today, I come to you with a very, very important warning. The warning that I'm going to share is already in motion. If you live within the continental United States, what I'm going to talk about today is going to affect either you or somebody that you know. Part of the information that I'm going to share today is going to include looking into the scriptures. So get a pen and paper, get your Bibles. If you listen to News from the Wall number 14, you heard part of the warning, and part of the things that you heard in the previous program are already in motion. They're happening, and we're going to talk about them. I'm going to show them to you. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it's true. God can do supernatural things. God can show human beings prophetic images and glimpses of things that are going to come to this planet. God can show us events before they happen. And if you're a regular listener to this program, folks, you can see it. You notice it. When you drive around your town, you can see that things are amiss. Things are weird. Things are not right. My friend, can you feel it? Do you sense it? Can you discern it? When you turn on the news on the TV, can you tell that you're just hearing bended lies? You're hearing reports that have been spun and sanitized? Most of you can tell. So when you hear a program like this, you're saying, thank God. Thank God there's somebody else talking about what's going on today. Thank God that there's some answers out there. And folks, there are answers. There is truth. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 12 that in the end times, the wicked would not understand, but the wise would understand. So you want to understand. Your spirit within you tells you to look for answers. So my friend, good news. You've found a program from a ministry that's going to bring you some answers. And my job here at Watchman's Cry is to seek God, to get alone with Him, to pray to Him, to understand Him, to search the scriptures, and to listen and hear His voice. It takes effort to get information from God. It doesn't occur with a 30-second, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. It takes effort. There's a lot of things to talk about, folks. But right now I'm talking about what time it is, and the hour is very late. And we're going around the bend into the final laps, and eventually we're going to be in extra innings. Eventually we're going to be in overtime. And folks, after overtime, it's game over. And when the game is over, all we have from that point on is the score and the statistics of the performance. How much overtime is God going to allow us to have? I don't know. God is patient. He has mercy. He's full of loving kindness. And He could take us into double overtime or triple. That's His choice. He's God. But in the meantime, we're getting to the end of the journey, the end of the game. And when we consider the situation here in America, the United States, can you discern it? And can you tell? America is barely moving, going very slow, and she's on fumes right now. America's experiencing God's judgment right now. It's a divine event that so far looks like it's not going to be stopped. And we've talked about this diagnosis a lot on this program. We've talked about the big picture for the nation of America, and also we've talked about the smaller picture that concerns you and that affects you. And folks, when we talk about these things, we don't pretend, we don't fake it, we don't spin it, and we don't deny it, because the facts are the facts. And the ode to Uncle Sam has been penned, and now it's playing softly in the background. Can you hear it, folks? Does your spirit discern it? The ode to Uncle Sam? It's a ballad with a few words, and it includes the lonely shrill of a bald eagle, crying out as it glides into the horizon, never to return. And that shrill of the eagle will soon be replaced with the cry of the vultures. Folks, can you see it?
I can see approaching storms. I can see the edge of the cliff, and I can hear the pounding of the surf. And also from this vantage point, I can see in the distance, by the gate of the harbor, the lady. That woman who for over a century has held a torch in her hand. A torch of proclamation for her people. And today, my friends, I must report that she is not alone. She has been getting visitors from above, and they are dark and menacing. They are vultures. And back in the days of her youth, Miss Liberty had blue skies over her head and endless horizon in her focus. But now there are vultures in the land. They have come upon her. And these creatures these scavengers of death have been hovering and circling around her. And when I first saw them, they appeared very hungry, and they looked like they were contemplating a tasty meal. And as I watched this disturbing scene unfold, I found myself alarmed and concerned. I had to tell someone, but who would listen? And as I continued to watch, I saw that several of the dark vultures had descended with outstretched talons, and they landed on her headdress, her crown of the seven seas. And then I watched an incredible horror. With their mighty wings outstretched, they tugged into the air with an evil effort, and they ripped Liberty's crown from her head. And they carried it a short distance, and they dropped it to the ground. And down below, the people were walking about, and they had no awareness to what was taking place above them or what was about to befall them. Because suddenly, there was a crash. The crown hit the ground hard with a thud, and it broke into several pieces. And some of those pieces landed on the crowd, crushing some of them, and it looked like it may have killed others. But amazingly, the other people that were milling about did not notice. They did not see the mayhem. They were too preoccupied. Preoccupied with one another. They were too busy lusting after one another. They were too busy admiring one another. They were too busy admiring themselves. So I screamed to get their attention. I felt panic and heartache. And I yelled at them, trying to tell them, some people are hurt. But they did not listen. They did not seem to care. And then I looked above and I saw a new horror. The vultures were on Liberty's shoulders and on her head. And they were picking and poking into her. They were scratching her face and plucking her skin. They were eating her flesh. And she began to bleed. The blood dripped down her face. It dripped down onto the people. But they did not notice. And she also did not seem to notice. Lady Liberty did not seem to care because she herself was intoxicated. She was drunk, drunk from a cup that she's now holding in her hand, an elixir that she is sipping. It is an elixir that makes her sway in the wind. It is a drink that has made her forget her lovers, her loyal friends, and her children. And in this drink, this cup of boiling red liquid are the iniquities of the land. This drink she is tasting for all of the people, the drink of judgment, a drink at first intoxicating, but then a liquid that turns bitter, a drink sweet upon her lips, but swallowed with anguish. It is a drink from the heavenly apothecary delivered by divine appointment. This drink, it is the cup of iniquity, and it will soon become the people's portion.
My friend, God cares about you. He wants you to be awakened and ready to face what's coming. Now again, today's program is going to be incredibly intense. I'm pretty sure it's going to be information that's going to make your head swim with a lot to ponder and to consider and to pray about. And it's going to take me a while to explain it. So again, my friend, please share it. Now, before we get started, I want to offer a challenge to everybody that's listening right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been a regular listener to this program, you know that we're different. Our message has substance. And over the past few months, we have gone into very, very informative programs that have explained a lot. We've had the Olympic series. We've had the inauguration warning that talked about the American disclosure and about the influx of invaders from the invisible world. We've spoken about Babylon and we've talked about so much more with many sermons and teachings. And if you have not heard our sermons, you can go to our audio page at watchmanscry.com. It's the audio link on the left side, and it will open up to several categories of programs. We have the Meet and Due Season Library. We have the Watchman's Cry Library. We have the News from the Wall Library. We have a lot of information, folks. And that information is for you, to strengthen you and to inform you. And my friends, I have confidence that this ministry is touching lives and is stirring hearts. And it's also disturbing the apathetic and challenging the complacent. The verdict is in. Our nation's in trouble. And while we're in trouble, there are many souls that still live within the borders of America that aren't ready. And I want to see them get ready. I want to see the backslider return to God. I want to see those that have been wayward to come back. So that's why we do this. We work hard. We work many hours trying to challenge, and we're trying to get the people of America prepared and ready. But you know what, folks? In the midst of that challenge, I have a confession to make. I challenge people to get spiritually ready and then do their physical preparation and get resituated. And if they have to move. Spiritually, I'm ready. Spiritually, I'm prepared. And spiritually, I'm seeking God. But in the physical, logistically, Watchman's Cry is still not ready. We're not situated how we want to be. So in other words, it's like the old adage, the cobbler's kids have no shoes. Well, Watchman's Cry's to-do list has holes in it. So I need to ask you, the many listeners that are out there, to help us. So I want to ask you to show your appreciation for this ministry with your gifts and with your offerings to help us do this. Because folks, here's the bottom line. Our funds are down, and I do not like having to do this, but it's very simple. If you're able to bless this ministry, then it will enable us to be situated for what's coming. And here's why, folks, because if perchance, now I don't have a timeline of when some major things are happening. We could have the rest of the summer to get ready, or the rest of the year, or we could have maybe another year. I'm not sure exactly how much time we have, but in the remaining time that we're allowed, Watchman's Cry needs to get situated so that when the next big event happens, I will be able to maintain my communication with all of you, whether it's through snail mail, whether it's through the internet. I want to be ready to do that. So folks, I'm asking you to help us with a miracle, because here's the other thing. I do envision that eventually, and unfortunately, civil war is coming to America. This country is going to see a bloody battle of brother against brother and American against American. And we're going to talk about that on this program. That is coming. When it does arrive, America is going to change the rules. A lockdown is going to happen in America. Perhaps it will start regionally. Perhaps it will start in certain areas, certain states. But as that lockdown spreads, you're going to want to be able to hear some information of what's going on. And I want to be able to provide that information. My friends and fellow brethren, there are some of you out there that could do great things for the kingdom of God by helping and blessing this ministry. And after you hear this message, you'll see that time is running out. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. By the way, another quick announcement. When this program is finished, I'm going to have it transcribed. And when I put the transcribe up, it may be in several parts, because the last program I transcribed ended up being 70 plus pages of information, and I broke it into two parts. So this program also is going to be transcribed, and I'm going to place images and a lot of pictures along with the transcribe that we will place on our website. But that's going to be a while, because after this program's recorded, when I edit the transcripts, I usually update them and I add a lot more information so that you can benefit from it. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, we are working very hard to present to you the information that you need to stay one step ahead of the events happening. Now, with all that said, let's get started. So are you ready, folks? You have your pen and paper? You have your Bibles? Again, I want to say up front, this program is going to be very, very sobering. And I know that not everybody is going to understand it. Not everyone will get it. Folks, this is a spiritual truth. Not everyone has the ears to hear. Not everyone has open spiritual eyes. What I'm going to share today, the flesh of man is going to want to reject this message, and also to mock it, to scorn it, to try to dismiss it, because the flesh will not like the outcome of what I'm going to share today. And I'm going to expand on these things, and I'm going to explain what I mean, but I'm just saying that up front, because I know that there are individuals out there that do not like this ministry, so try to listen to it through the perspective of the spiritual, from God's point of view. Folks, I can't say this enough. The prophetic warning message of the end times is hated by the flesh. And I know that. Some of you battle with the things that I say on these programs. And the reason that you battle them is because there's a good chance you're trying to process them through your intellect. Now, I'm not saying turn off your brain, and I'm not saying not to use your rationale, because the Bible also tells us that we need to reason. Come, let us reason together. God did give us a brain. However, we are not limited to the natural mind of man. The natural mind of man will deceive you. The natural heart of man is deceptive and full of wickedness. That's why it's necessary to have the mind of Christ. And that's why it's necessary to process things through biblical scrutiny, using the Word of God to compare the message that we hear, and then also through the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Now, the things that are coming to this land have to do with several elements. What is coming to America has to do with, number one, the people of the United States. Number two, it has to do with God. And as a subset of these two groups, there's also a third category, which is what I call the people's portion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, the people's portion. Please remember those words. This is what it means, folks. The majority of the time, when an individual is looking at the ills of their society, of their nation, of their land, when Americans look at the ills of America, 99.9% of the time, people look at the ills and examine the ills through the lens of feigned innocence. Or in other words, it's always someone else's fault. So most people, when they look at the problems of America, I mean, folks, all you have to do is go to the internet. If you're a person that's awake and you listen to the alternative media, even in the alternative media that is growing in popularity on the internet, 99.9% of the people on social media, on the internet, on blogs, on forums, they're usually looking at the problems of America through the lens of the assumption of innocence, which means that they are blaming someone else. It's somebody else's fault. They're pointing fingers at somebody. But my friends, the message that I share here on Watchman's Cry swims against this tide, because it includes the rejected truth that it's everybody's fault. What do I mean by that? The history of America that is taking place right now, and also the history of the world that's taking place right now, if you happen to abide offshore, is going through some major struggles. The economy of the world is struggling right now. It's under duress. It's a house of cards, striving to maintain its balance. And as we observe the history of the world and the history of America that is now taking place, those that are awake would like to see remedies. They would like solutions. They would like to see these problems go away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these problems are just getting started. They are not going away. Because, folks, this world is in trouble. And if you happen to be a new listener to this program, you may be wondering, Nathan, I noticed that you talk a lot about America, but why don't you talk about Europe? Why don't you talk about Asia and Australia and some of the other parts of the world? Well, here's why, folks. Because my calling is to America. And my calling is to be a voice to Americans, because this is where I was born and raised, and this is where I live. I know the culture of America. I understand the culture of Americans. And with that assignment, there are very unique things that take place in this ministry. Number one, it's a ministry that does not limit itself to the natural. So in order to spread the warning message to America, God helps me. And He reveals hidden things. He opens my eyes, I see them, and then He instructs me to bring them to the light. So that's what I do. And these things that I bring to the light are in the category of the moral and the spiritual and the political and the social. They cover many categories. So if you're new to this program, if you're new to this ministry, I'm Nathan Liao. I'm a watchman. I'm not the only one out there. I'm one of many. And my job is to bring the warnings and the announcements, the diagnosis, the verdicts, and also the unfortunate notifications of America's divine appointment. Because folks, America has an appointment. That means that America is on a divine schedule of coming activity right now. And part of that appointment involves all of us. Now, Getting back to the word that I mentioned earlier, the people's portion. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me when I say this. Part of the present judgment that is taking place right now over the land of America includes the quote-unquote people's portion. What does that mean? If you have the ears to hear, you will understand what I'm about to say. If you don't have the ears to hear, then you may not. But I pray that even if you struggle with having the ears to hear, that God will open up your understanding so that you can be able to receive what I'm about to say. And that is this. The people's portion means that the cup of America's iniquity has been filled up by just about everyone in the United States, in this country. When I say the cup of iniquity, this is what I'm talking about. In the scriptures, God has revealed glimpses that all the nations of the world have a different report card, a different summary on their activity. And depending on how much knowledge they have of God or not, and this is God's department, this is His business, it's not mine. We don't know all the particular rules of how God judges a nation or decides to judge a nation. But I know this, the Bible reveals that nations do have a cup. And when they commit enough sins to fill their cup, then the cup of iniquity begins to be full to overflowing. When that cup, which is the cup of sin for that nation, becomes too full, then God intervenes in that nation. And depending on the arrangement that God has for that nation, usually He will send a voice, He will wake some people up, He will appoint some messengers, some servants, to go forth to that nation and to warn them that their cup of iniquity is full and that God's judgment is coming to that nation. This is in the scriptures, folks. The book of Jeremiah talks about it, about the cup of iniquity. The book of Psalms talks about it. And over the last few years, the Holy Spirit of God has revealed that America's cup of iniquity is getting very close to touching the brim. And because the cup is full, then God needs to intervene and He needs to warn America that we need to stop our activities that are sinful. God wants to warn America to knock it off. God wants to warn America that we need to return to the God of our fathers. And thus far, the majority of America will not listen to this message. The majority of America rejects this message. But that cup is a very large cup, and I don't know how big it is, but being that it is a cup that holds iniquity, and being that the nation contributes to filling that cup up, that means that all of us have contributed to that cup. Now, folks, to consider that thought is disturbing. Who wants to hear that they have contributed to the poison and the ills of their own land? People don't want to admit this, but my friends, if you're an adult, there's a good chance that some of the drops in that cup were contributed by the person that stares at you when you look in the mirror. That's the unfortunate truth, my friend. And because of this situation, the only remedy to solve this mess is a national movement towards repentance. Folks, if our sins are in that cup, we should repent to God and ask Him to remove them. But it's a big cup. And yes, there are a few people that have done it. But thus far, those few consist of a few drops in an ocean of iniquity. So again, because the land of America has not repented on a national level, the judgment of God is moving forward. So my job as a watchman, as a voice, is to share the information of why it's going to happen. And also to share what will happen and what we need to do to prepare for it. And also, folks, how we need to behave when it does happen. Now, did you get all of that? If you're taking notes, I'm sharing what's going to happen, why it's going to happen, what we need to do to prepare for it, and how to behave when it happens. And then how to behave in the aftermath. These things are vital to your endurance, to your protection, and also to your outcome. And as I share this information, there's also someone that does not want you to hear this warning. His name is Satan. And folks, he doesn't like you. He wants you to doubt, deny, and have unbelief. And in order to do that, he's going to speak and whisper into your mind, into your ears. He's going to say, don't listen to Nathan. He's crazy. Folks, I know he does this. He also has his own campaign underway right now to try to discount this warning message. And not only mine, but the warning messengers that are out there on assignment. And this campaign that Satan does is to try to nullify these words of warning and to dismiss them as untrue or false. So folks, let me say this up front. You need to decide who to believe. You need to decide what to believe. Because inside of you is a spirit. And since I don't know you personally, and I don't know if you have God's Holy Spirit in you or Satan's deceptive spirit in you, it's one or the other. And it's up to you to have a desire to hear God's truth. And not only desire it, you need to seek after it. You need to want it. You need to try to get a hold of it. And folks, I know that this is a big challenge. Because I know that the natural mind of man does not want to believe that things are amiss. But unfortunately, they are. So as you listen to this program, again, please take notes. And if you allow yourself the discipline of following along and reading your Bible and finding the verses that I'm going to bring up, folks, I'm going to back up the things I'm going to say with Scripture. I always use the Scriptures. I don't just make it up. And the Bible does talk about the end times. A large portion of the Bible is about prophecy. And folks, this is the other thing that you need to come to terms with. Either we are in the end times or we're not. And if you do not believe we're in the end times, then nothing that I say from this point on is going to convince you. But if the Holy Spirit has borne witness with you that we are in the end times, then that means that we need to find out all of the particulars of what's going to happen in these end times. And yes, it is possible to do that if we're willing to dig and seek it out in the Scriptures. And that's what I do here at Watchman's Cry. I seek it out, and then I present it in programs, and sermons, and messages, and warnings. Now, folks, I have to also offer another caveat. After you hear this warning message, if you've been listening to this long enough, you know that Satan's going to come around later and try to dismiss it. He's going to try to whisper things to you to put you to sleep. He doesn't want you getting ready. He doesn't want you knowing what's going on. He doesn't want you preparing. If you have a family, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you have people that you're responsible for, Satan doesn't want you to take care of them in these end times. He wants you to fail. He wants you to be destroyed. That's what he does. He's the liar. He's the father of lies. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a murderer, a liar, and he's been that way from the beginning. So be careful, folks. After you hear this message, Satan's going to come to you and lie to you and tell you that it's not real. Because already he has other people that he has convinced that these are not the end times. And they believe it. And there are also other lying voices out there that make claims that God is limited. They act like Christians and they have a form of godliness. They're able to quote Scripture. But here's the fruit that you need to be aware of, folks. There are people out there that try to claim that God does not speak to us in these end times. There are people that believe that God does not minister to his body, to the body of Christ, through spiritual gifts. What do you mean spiritual gifts? I'm talking about the supernatural spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians talks about them. The 9 spiritual gifts. Words of knowledge. Words of wisdom. Healing. Tongues. Discernment of spirits. Etc. There are voices out there that say that the ministry gifts are no longer happening today. They say that the gifts died when the apostles died. That there are no longer gifts of the Spirit. Meaning God does not give prophecy. God does not give prophetic dreams. He doesn't give us glimpses. That they ceased with the death of the apostles. Now folks, that view happens to be a lie. It happens to be false. And that view is also biblical and Holy Spirit illiteracy. Now ladies and gentlemen, I have to warn you about this. We are in a battle right now. If you're a Christian, Satan is going to try to confuse you, discourage you, depress you, lie to you, etc., etc. He's going to want you to be asleep. But at the same time, God wants you to be awake. So that's the battle that's going on right now. And God is waking many people up in these end times. By the thousands, by the tens of thousands. He's waking people up. He is beginning to show people prophetic dreams and glimpses of things that are coming. And if you're a regular listener, there's a good chance that possibly either you or a loved one or a friend or someone you know has also had prophetic dreams and glimpses of things that are coming to America. And these glimpses, these prophetic dreams, were prophesied in the book of Joel. They're happening right now by the thousands. Why are they happening? Because God is waking his people up. But at the same time, folks, please be warned. There are people out there that do not believe these things take place. So how does God work through this mess? Here's how, folks. God is very wise. And if you're paying attention today, you're seeing that most of America used to be a quote-unquote Christian nation, now denies God. They hate him. They don't want anything to do with him. They ignore and reject him. The kids today are taught that there is no God, that we're the remnants of evolution, that we're animals. So because of that, humanity and the American society has programmed itself to act like animals, to act like a bunch of beasts without morals or scruples. Homosexuality is running rampant now. Lesbianism, the gay agenda, and also fornication. The foundation of morality has been fractured with the jackhammer of unbelief. And as the dust rises, it's glazing over the eyes of the people of the land. So people ignore and reject God. They want nothing to do with him. So how does God wake people up in the middle of this mess of the end times? Well, God uses many things to prove himself. And while proving himself, he also desires to gain the souls of those who are going to find him by faith and come to the cross and repent, to come to Jesus. And he's pulling them toward himself. But at the same time, Satan is tugging. So as God is pulling people toward him, Satan is tugging people away from him. This is the battle taking place right now. So how does God prove himself, but at the same time confound the wise? Because in the eyes of natural man, God isn't real. In the mind of the intellect, God does not do miracles. God is not supernatural. In the mind of even intellectual Christians who have not had a true encounter with Jesus at the cross with repentance, God is just an intellectual summary of a bunch of verses. And these individuals are now populating many of the mega churches across the land of America. So when these individuals hear a warning message, they reject it because their spirits have not been rejuvenated. They reject the message. They scoff it. And while they are scoffing it, God is revealing himself in plain sight. He's revealing himself only to the humble, but he's invisible to the haughty and the proud. Now, my friend, if you happen to be a new listener and you struggle when you listen to these programs because you hear me talk about the prophetic and the supernatural so much, and in your mind, you say and you believe that God doesn't do this because somehow you have been convinced that God is not powerful enough to do supernatural things through us. My friend, 1 Corinthians 12, it mentions the 9 gifts. And if you don't believe this, there are going to be many benefits and blessings that you will never know or be able to see. But you know, folks, the God that I serve is all powerful. I serve Jesus, and he's full of wonder. He's able to, with the power of his Holy Spirit, to set the captives free and to change lives and to encounter the darkness, to break the chains and to bring comfort and peace and joy to those that have heartache. My friends, Jesus is real. He's alive, and he's the only place to go. And in these last days, God is a wonder, and he is full of the miraculous. And my brother and sister in Christ, Jesus can speak to us supernaturally and show us things supernaturally. I know that there are some that say, Nathan, God does not give us prophetic dreams. He doesn't give prophecy in this day and age. Oh, really? Folks, what is prophecy? Prophecy is something that God reveals to us that is coming. Prophecy is God showing us something in advance. And in the book of John 16, verse 7, folks, if you have your Bible, please turn there. John 16, verse 7. Jesus says, quote, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is the truth, folks. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And Jesus was telling the disciples that when he died and was going to leave the earth, he wasn't going to leave us abandoned and all alone. He was going to send us the Holy Spirit Comforter, the Helper. Now, according to some of the unbelieving Christians out there, they say, well, Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit, but he's benign and powerless and anemic to do the miraculous. No, he's not. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And further down in that chapter, Jesus says, when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Now, folks, if you have your Bible, look at the end of verse 13. Now, up to this point, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Look what he says here. and he will tell you things to come. There it is right there, folks. Jesus says in the scriptures, when I send the Holy Spirit to you, he's going to show you things that are going to come. That's prophecy. That's the same thing as showing us a glimpse of the future. Folks, it's right there. So why do some of you doubt it? Why are there some of you full of unbelief when it says the Holy Spirit will show it to you? Well, Nathan, that only applied to the disciples. Oh, really? Is that the false teaching that you've been told? In the next chapter, John chapter 17, Jesus prays for the disciples. And for most of chapter 17, Jesus blesses them and he asks the Father to watch over them, to glorify them, to be with them, to give them joy, comfort. And as Jesus is praying, he says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is saying, Father, I am not only praying for the ones here in this room, but I am praying for all of those that are going to believe because of the ones in this room. In other words, the ones in this room are going to blaze the trail for the gospel to go out throughout the world. A new dispensation, a new covenant of grace. And all of the people that believe, I'm also praying for them. So these words that Jesus is sharing are not limited to the original first disciples, to the original apostles. This has to do with everyone throughout the history of the church, throughout time. The Holy Spirit was going to be sent to this world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. To convict of sin, that's what he does when we're a Christian and we misbehave, when we stumble. The Holy Spirit convicts us and woos us back to him so that we can repent. And the Holy Spirit also shows us righteousness, how to live right. He shows us what is right and wrong so that when we see people acting out of character with his word, with his statutes, with his commandments, we know that it's wrong. Now, the world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have that barometer. But as followers and disciples of Jesus, we do. And the other thing that the Holy Spirit does is to convict the world of judgment. Now, folks, that's John chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, the judgment part is the unfortunate area that the blind ones want to deny. They say God does not talk about judgment. God does not judge. God does not send his judgment. But folks, Jesus said it in the book of John. It's right here, John 16. For the new dispensation, for our dispensation of the church, God does judge. So for those of you that are out there thinking that he doesn't, because I know that there are liars out there that are trying to campaign against the watchman in these last days. Folks, did you know that? There are individuals that have been recruited by Satan who have taken it upon themselves to go on crusades against the watchmen and the servants of God and the messengers that God has raised up. And these mockers and scoffers will build websites and blogs and they'll go on forums and they will say, whenever you hear Nathan, Nathan's not telling the truth because God doesn't do that. God doesn't send prophecy in these last days. Prophecy's not for today. Don't listen to Nathan or any of the other voices, or Rick Wiles, or Augusto Perez, or Steve Quayle, or any of the other ones out there. Don't listen to them. They're making it up. Folks, I know they're out there. And I know that for those that want to deny the power of God, they're going to stand before Jesus someday. Because they are having a form of godliness, but denying his power. They are calling the works of the Holy Spirit as false. They are calling and claiming that the warnings from the Holy Spirit are false and made up. And if you happen to be listening to this program and you're one of the scoffers out there, all I can say is, may God have mercy on you. Folks, I'm saying these things right now because this program is going to be very, very serious, and you need to know up front that when I get behind this microphone, I know that there are enemies of this ministry and of the end time message. I know this. It's not a secret, but I'm not going to mention their names, and I know who they are. Some of them have baptized themselves with the mantle of slander and spreading false witness, discounting the works of the Holy Spirit. I know they're out there. And if some of you happen to be listening to this program for the first time and you're saying, I have heard about Nathan's ministry, but then I have heard some of these other people saying that God doesn't do this. Well, folks, you're going to have to decide for yourself, aren't you? And please know this. If you want to listen to a mocker and a scoffer in these last days, please pay attention to where we are in the timeline. Do you believe we're in the last days? And if so, please know this. The Bible prophesied that in the last days, mockers and scoffers would come. And for those that try to say, well, God doesn't give prophecy in these last days, well, folks, that's how the church age is going to be concluded. God's going to raise up two witnesses at the very end that are going to have the anointing of Elijah and John the Baptist. And they're going to tell the world about the judgment that is coming. And their message is going to be repentance. It's going to be repentance, folks, in the book of Revelation. I know that there's some people out there that say Nathan talks about repentance too much. He should just talk about nice feel-good stuff. Well, if it was 1960, maybe I would. If it was 1950, maybe I would. Maybe if it was the year 1910 or 1840. But folks, it is no longer that time. We are at the end. And God has raised up Watchman's Cry to bring the challenge of repentance. And also the words of warning. And also the words of hope. That he's able to save and to seek those that are lost. Nathan, why do you want to spend time talking about repentance? Because that's what God said to do. And for those of you that have not read your Bible, let me read from the book of Revelation chapter 11. Because someday, as this thing finally winds down and comes to an explosion of events in the tribulation period that's coming to this planet, we're also going to see some other people that are going to have a message. And is it going to be a message of greasy grace or prosperity or the feel-good gospel? Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. What does that mean? Sackcloth represents repentance. So their message is going to be repentance and prophesying. They're going to be prophesying about God's judgment and talking about repentance. And then in verse 7, when they finish their testimony after 3.5 years, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them. Or in other words, the satanic powers over the world will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. So what does this mean right here? This means that Satan does not like the prophetic warning. Satan does not like the message of repentance because he's going to kill two messengers that are going to talk about repentance and judgment. And after that happens, is the world going to mourn and be sad? Are the zombie Christians that are walking around at that time going to be sad when they hear that the two witnesses got killed? No. Because verse 10 says, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. They tormented them. Now, folks, if you can imagine how the residents of the earth could be tormented, if I were to ask you, give me your thoughts on a bat human that would torment the earth, what would he be and what would he be doing? Some of you would probably come up with people like Hitler or Stalin or Mao, who tormented because they're communists or they're tyrants or they're dictators and they torment. But according to this verse, the entire world is going to be tormented because there's two guys that are going to be warning that judgment was upon the earth, that God was doing things. And what are they going to be saying that's going to make people so mad? Folks, think about that. If they torment the earth, what are they going to say? Well, I'm going to give you a hint. They're going to say the inconvenient truth about mankind, that man is headed for hell, that God is angry with them, that they are living wrong, that their lifestyles are profane, that they're living like harlots, that they're full of whoredoms, that they're full of apostasy and homosexuality and fornication, that they're a bunch of liars and thieves. You know what else, folks? There's a good chance that they're going to tell some of the leaders, the spiritual leaders, that they're whitewashed walls, that they're empty of their message, that their troughs have no water, that they are pathetic representations of the pulpit, clouds without water, empty tombs, that they have lost their first love, that they need to return to the God of their fathers, that they need to repent, that Jesus is coming, that his signs are being made manifest, taking place before their eyes, that their days were numbered, that war was coming, that plague and pestilence was arriving, that the signs were the signs to show that Jesus was going to return and split the eastern sky very soon before their eyes. Folks, what is it about the warning message that ticks people off? What is it about the message that says, mine eyes have seen the glory of God in a night vision? Mine eyes have seen the power of God.
While I was praying, mine eyes have seen coming events to this planet. While I was seeking him, while I was on my knees, while I travailed, he showed me a glimpse, and he told me to go warn.
What is it about those words, folks, that are so tormenting? What is it about those words that anger so many of the dead?
It's because Satan hates it.
Satan does not want you to be ready. Satan wants you to starve spiritually. Satan wants you to be destroyed. Satan wants to kill your family. Satan wants to kill your babies and murder your wife and steal your blessing. Satan wants to keep you out of victory. Satan wants to keep you in his chains. Satan wants to keep you in bondage. Satan wants your eyes to stay shut.
In the last days, mockers and scoffers would come. And folks, here they are.
So as I share this message, please know this. Satan doesn't want you to hear what you're about to hear.
But folks, does it really matter what he thinks?
Also know this. There are shills in the employ of government agencies. Shills whose job it is to get on the internet and discount the warning of God. And these shills start websites and blogs, and they go on forums, and they try to discount the warning of God. And they're out there. These people are relics that give proof to the stony hearts of men. So when you go out on the internet searching, please know that it's a minefield, folks. A minefield to find the truth and to be deceived into darkness. So after you listen to this program, seek God, and you pray, and you ask God to show you the truth. And if you do that, folks, I have to warn you, he might show you the truth about what you see in the mirror, because that's the other message that's included, and that is this. We are all undone. All of us. We need to be working on our spiritual health, on our spiritual revival. We need to be working to discover what repentance really is. We need to be working on lifestyle changes. We need to be working on a heart transplant. We need to be working on restoring our families. Husbands, wives, we need to be working on those marriage vows that were spoken. For some of you, it was a long time ago. And others, it was just recent. But we need to be working on them. We need to be working on making memories with our loved ones. Memories that will not bring nightmares, bad shadows. Mom and Dad, if you've been a bad parent because you've been a bad example and you've done some wrong things, you've lived wrong, you've reacted wrong, you need to work on fixing that. Get rid of your pride and have a talk with your kids. Time's running out. Jesus is coming back for the assembly of the humble and the meek. You know what, folks? God is raising up the remnant. And many of you that are listening to this program want to be, but at the same time, there are others of you that are confused and you're not sure what role the remnant plays. Some of you don't understand or realize what the remnant is. But lately, God has been stirring you and he's been waking you up and he's been showing you that you need to reevaluate this whole situation of where you stand with him, the prophetic timeline, the things that you've been taught or that you've believed in about the end times, the eschatology that you've taken for granted in your Christian walk. But now you're having a second look at the end time eschatology. And what I mean by that is, folks, I know that there are some of you that started this journey and you were told about the pre-tribulation rapture, but then over the years, there's been something stirring in your soul and in your heart and your spirit telling you that those things aren't really adding up and bearing witness to you like they used to. Lately, you're revisiting this concept. And now you're asking yourself the question, is it possible that maybe we're going to be here for a good portion of this thing? And now that you're willing to visit this concept and place it on the table, it changes your involvement. It changes how you're going to participate, doesn't it, my friend?
Folks, the church needs to be purified. The church needs to be refined. The church is made up of people, of you and I. So as God works through those things in our lives, we're going to find ourselves in that period of time called the tribulation. And the witness of our spirit is going to be telling us that it's happening.
And one of the most amazing things that's going to be taking place in the world as this thing unfolds is that the majority of the world and the majority of Christians are not going to know that we're in the tribulation period. But those that God is waking up are going to know. And those ones that know about it, that bear witness, are what I call the remnant of God. And that brings us back to that term. My friend, I pray and I hope that you are a part of that precious group. And as I have been examining this situation in today's body of Christ, This is what I'm noticing. The remnant of God who are waking up right now come from a large variety of backgrounds. But the one thing that they have in common is that they have a love for Jesus. They understand repentance. They understand that God is more than just an intellectual idea. God is real. And as we are waking up, some of you who have made it a part of your journey and a discipline in your life to learn as much as you can in these end times, as you listen to these programs, as you listen to the type of messages that I share, when you hear these things, they can be overwhelming. And folks, I know that many people who are a part of the remnant are stressed out right now. I know that many of you, you're stressed out. The pressure builds. And then the enemy wants to come in and confuse. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this also. If you're listening to this program, and as you find yourself listening to the things I'm going to share, they may be a little bit scary. But at the same time, I want us to be able to face these things with honesty. I know that there are some that when they hear these programs, they react because it scares them. Instead of taking that anxiety to the cross and presenting it to Jesus, the people will get angry with the message. They'll get angry with me. But my friends, attacking me is not going to nullify where we are in the timeline. And my prayer and my hope is that those of you who are a part of the genuine, precious remnant of God, that you would make it your assignment to begin to dissect the cares that you have in your heart, that you've been tolerating, that you've been ignoring, and dealing with them. Folks, you know what kind of person we have when an individual has a lot of issues and wounds and experiences and encounters that are hurtful and negative and painful that are not dealt with? You know what kind of person we end up with? Eventually, we end up with a person that is head shy or that has their walls up or that perhaps is very aggressive. Folks, it can affect your temperament and your personality to the point where others who may want to help you find themselves scurrying away from you. So folks, in these end times, a lot of the pain that the remnant has, we cannot hold on to it anymore. We have to bring it to God because some of that pain is going to work and tempt you to want to continue to act as a normal human being and react the same way that Satan would want, to react in ways that are against the fruit of the Spirit, to react in the ways of the world, to react in a manner unpleasant. It's normal to be that way. It's normal for men to be tough and want to have a chip on their shoulder. It's normal for women not want to be hurt anymore, so their walls are up, and it makes them unpleasant or very edgy, abrasive. My friends, Jesus wants to heal our hearts, and he wants to work on his remnant body of believers. So I'm bringing these things up because I know that there are a wide variety of you that are listening. You have a lot to offer God. God wants to use you, but at the same time, you have some personal challenges, and God wants to work through those personal challenges, my friend. He wants to use you because he has seen the end result of what you can become, a man or a woman full of faith, a man or a woman full of the Word of God, a man or a woman that knows Jesus and knows that he can heal, a man or a woman that knows that the Spirit of the Lord, when he comes upon a person, can heal the brokenhearted and those that are full of pain. He can heal the bruised reeds. He can repair the moth-eaten hearts. And he can strengthen those whose heads weigh down. He's the glory and the lifter of our head, my friends. And he can place his finger under your chin, and he can lift up your head. And he can look into your eyes and tell you it's going to be okay. Those of you that are a precious part of the remnant, my prayer and my hope is that God gets a hold of you and makes you a person that is going to do great exploits for him in these end times. Folks, I believe that. I believe God is going to raise up warriors. He's going to raise up those who are no longer afraid. He's going to raise up those who have been healed. He's going to raise up those who are no longer thrust downward with the shadows of the past. He's going to raise you up, my friend. But the key ingredient that we must find is to believe by faith that he can do it. So my friends, don't give up. Don't give up listening to these programs. I plan to talk a lot more about this situation, about the bruised ones who are part of the remnant. I plan to talk about those that are hurting and those that God is going to repair and give heart surgery to, those that God is going to give miraculous recovery to, those that have post-traumatic experiences from the waves of the past are going to be healed.
because God's word is true and His Holy Spirit is able to heal. My God is able. My friends, can you say that? And can you believe that? My God is able to heal me. My God is able to restore me. My God is able to bring me to the light. My God is able to open my eyes. My God is able to take away the blindness. My God is able to lift us up into heavenly places. Glory to God. I find myself preaching when I'm supposed to be teaching about these things that are coming, but I had to share that. I had to say that. Let these words not fall to the ground, and let them take a hold of those of you that need a touch from God. Now, I'm going to explain a lot of things on this program, but I need to share a foundation of the judgment that's coming to America, and I'm going to show you in scriptures the elements that are going to take place, bullet points that you can write down in your notes and pin them to your wall, put them on your fridge, put them in your Bible, and watch, because they're going to be coming here to America. And as they arrive, they're going to take a lot of people under tow. They're going to wash them away because the people aren't going to be ready. So I'm going to share from the scriptures some events that are coming, and then we're going to talk about the judgment of America. Then I'm going to show you some of the big headlines that are going to be happening in the coming future. So this program I would consider to be one of my most important programs that explains how the coming judgment on America is taking place. Now, I've already done programs that have broken down the categories of judgment. You can find that on my website. It's called The Judgment of God Explained. It's one of the early News from the Wall programs. It talks about the fourfold judgment, but now we are going to talk about some of the more isolated portions of the judgment that is now coming. Now, a few days ago, I was a guest on the Hagman & Hagman program on May the 30th, and some of the things that you're going to hear on this program, I also shared on that one, but I'm going to go into a lot more detail. And as I said earlier, after this program is put up, I'm going to transcribe it and publish images with my transcribe so that you can see the things I'm talking about. Again, there's going to be homework, so I want to encourage you to get some maps, one of those big 3-foot maps that you might be able to find at Walmart or Barnes & Noble. Get a map to get familiar with the areas that are going to be under duress here in the United States. Now, several weeks ago, I shared about several visions that I had on April the 7th, where I had 4 prophetic dreams in one night. And the first 2 were about the Civil War, the 3rd one was about a train, and the 4th one I didn't talk about. Now, on the Hagman & Hagman program, I shared portions of the 4th dream, but I didn't share all of it. I'm going to share as much as possible. But in order to share those things and present them in a manner that makes sense, I want to read some portions of Scripture first. Now, as we move on, I'm about to give you a lot of information that have to do with some of the visions that I had, and we're going to talk about cities and states. I happen to have a huge map in front of me on the wall, but before I share that, there are some foundational elements that must be understood, and that is this. Throughout the history of time when God has dealt with humanity, and when man has found himself going off course, God being the shepherd, the great shepherd, and we being the sheep, has to follow and find us, and with his rod, he woos us back unto his path. But sometimes the sheep don't want to respond to him. So what God does for us as humans is he will show us and reveal to us supernatural signs. And in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God tells us that the sun and the moon and the stars are for seasons and for signs. So when he created the universe at the beginning of time, he created the universe to show us signs. And one of the canvases that God uses to give us signs is the sky, the stars. Now, I'm not talking about astrology, ladies and gentlemen. That is forbidden on an individual basis. However, God does paint the story, the account, the news report, the announcement, the proclamation, the declaration of major events in the heavens. And he does it with the sun and the moon and the stars. So that's one method that he uses. Now, there are other methods that God also uses to reveal his signature and his plans for us. And there have been several times when I have brought up the passage that we can find in Psalm 65, verse 8. And it reads, "They who dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of your tokens or your signs." I've talked about this verse in the past, and what this verse means is that those who dwell away from God, those who dwell in the world, living for themselves, those who are prodigals, those whose eyes aren't open, those who do not have at the time an ambition to be close to God, those individuals, when they see the signs that God places before them, it scares them. Let me read that verse again. They also who dwell in the farthest parts or the uttermost parts are afraid of your signs or your tokens. And ladies and gentlemen, how true is that when a program like this one shares some of the signs that are taking place before us? There are some individuals that you will try to share this program with, and maybe you'll give them the website address, or you'll burn a copy on a CD, or you'll give them the link, or give it to them on a flash drive, and then they report back to you with their opinion. And sometimes it's a good report. Sometimes it's an individual that bears witness with you that, wow, this person's on the wall sharing things that need to be shared. This is great. Thanks for letting me know about him. And then at other times there are people that will say, I don't agree. He's talking about signs that are scary. He's full of fear. I don't want to listen to him. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons that people at times do not want to hear the prophetic warning is because it scares them. Whenever someone who is not dwelling close to God hears about a warning that's prophetic, that includes some supernatural evidence like a sign or a signature or an event that's taking place, it scares them, thus fulfilling this verse that I just read, Psalm 65:8. Those who dwell in the farthest parts away from God are afraid of his tokens. Now, that word tokens is a very interesting word. Depending on the version of the Bible that you have, it's translated tokens or signs, but that word tokens is a word that is used many times throughout the scriptures. And over the past few weeks, as I have been seeking God about this message, the Holy Spirit has been opening my eyes and showing that there are many times where God shows in the Bible and in scripture that he was revealing token signs to his people or to people in the world or to people of a different nation that weren't part of Israel. And he did that for the express purpose to illustrate a sign from him. And if you're taking notes, folks, I want to make mention that there are several terms to illustrate what I'm talking about. When you look in the scriptures and you look at the words that some of the prophets used, like Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah or even the book of Psalms, all the way back to Moses, we can read about the word token, which means a sign. And there are many times where God, through his prophets in the Old Testament, would want to illustrate his coming judgment, so he would have the prophets either conduct a dramatic object lesson or a prophetic object lesson where they would act out what the coming judgment was going to consist of. For example, he would tell Ezekiel, I want you to, in the morning, pack up your clothes in front of all the people, place them in a bag, and then walk away from your house. And when they say, what are you doing? You tell them, I'm illustrating you're going to be taken into captivity, people of Israel, and you're going to leave your homes with only the things that you can carry. You're going to be refugees. There were other times where God told Ezekiel, I want you to act out, make a little pretend wall, and then show how there's going to be battering rams. So make a little model that they can see, and then make a little siege mount around it. So Ezekiel took this dirt and he built these walls, and he built a little tiny siege wall. So it was a little thing. And when the people came up to him, they said, Ezekiel, what are you doing? Ezekiel told them, this is what's coming to the city of Jerusalem. They are going to be taken into captivity, and it's going to happen with an army that's going to arrive and build a siege wall, and they're going to use battering rams. So Ezekiel acted out the prophecy. And God said, Ezekiel, when they say, why are you doing that? You tell them, because I am a sign. I am a token. This is a token to show you the real event that's coming. So when the prophets were used by God, God would tell them to use tokens. Tokens were a tiny truth of the prophecy that was showing that it was going to come true, come to pass. So at times God had the prophets act out the token, which was a sign of the future event that was on its way. Now many times when the people had a small token event displayed before them, most of the time they didn't see it. Whether it was an event taking place in the canvas of the sky, with the sun and the moon and the stars, or whether it was taking place by a prophet acting it out, or whether it was taking place in events that were happening before their eyes. For example, in the book of Psalms chapter 74, verse 9, If you have your Bibles, turn there, ladies and gentlemen. Psalm 74, verse 9. This psalm was written by Asaph, and what it was a compilation of lamentations because the person writing this psalm understood the devastation that they were under. And one of the things they mentioned is the realization that it's too late, because verse 3 says the enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. So Babylon had arrived and shown themselves as the victors. But then the psalmist laments in verse 9. He says, "We do not see our signs." In other words, the signs that the prophets had brought to try to warn them beforehand, they didn't see it. Because the psalmist is lamenting that even while the events are happening, they're not reacting in a way that shows that their eyes are open. That this is an event that God is allowing to happen. So they do not see the signs. And then it goes on. It says, "And there is no longer any prophet that can show us the signs." So the psalmist is lamenting that the prophets are gone. Because one of the jobs of a messenger of God, or a servant, or a scribe, or a wise man sent from God, or a prophet, he uses a variety of people, is that God opens his messenger's eyes to tell the people, "Hey folks, look at this sign. God is trying to reach you. God is trying to warn you. God is trying to tell you something." But it was too late. So the psalmist is saying in verse 9, "We don't see our signs, and there is no longer any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knows how long." Or in other words, neither is there a messenger from God that can tell us how much time we have left. You know, folks, it's amazing that even in the church, in the body of Christ, people want to ignore the warning from God and they don't want to listen. And God sends his voices that plead with them. And the majority of the time, they don't want to listen. It's not a popular message, folks. The message of warning is not a message that is accepted by the people, because it's not bright and cheery. So God sends the messengers to show and reveal the tokens, but the people do not get it, and they don't want to get it. And then when it's too late to get it, they say, "There's no one to show us what's going on." And you know, folks, that's the story of God's people in the Old Testament as well as the New. So today, God is sending his signs once again. God is sending his tokens. So that's why I'm bringing to the table this concept of the tokens of God, because they are very, very important things that God uses. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, pose a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord." So this is God telling Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, go give him a riddle. Give him a parable. And only those that have the eyes to see are going to get it. The others aren't, and they're going to get mad at you, but I still want you to propose it to them." So Ezekiel said, "Okay, what is it?" And God said, "A great eagle with large wings and long pinions, full of feathers and various colors, came to Lebanon." And then he goes on to talk about what happened to this branch. And this branch represented Judah at the time. And then he goes on and he talks about verse 7, "Then there was another great eagle with large wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine bent its roots toward him." So this other eagle shows up, and this other eagle was able to overcome. He was healthy. So God is telling Ezekiel, "I'm going to send another eagle, and it's going to be able to overcome the first one and yank it up by the roots and cut off its fruit and make it wither." And then God says, "And when you tell this riddle to the people of Judah," in verse 11, look what it says, folks, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came, and he said, Say now to the rebellious house, Do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, indeed, the king of Babylon went to Jerusalem and took its king and princes." This riddle was talking about the invasion that was coming. So God had Ezekiel to speak riddles. And today, ladies and gentlemen, that's the same thing that God is doing. When he sends a prophetic image, a prophetic glimpse, a prophetic vision or dream to his watchmen or his messengers, his servants, they are presented as riddles, as images. And there have been many times that I have shared the prophetic dreams God has given me, and there's been some times when I don't understand all of the meanings. But you know, folks, that's okay, because God wants it to be presented in the form of a riddle, so that when the event does take place, then all the pieces fit together, and those that have been watching can say, "Oh, now that makes sense," but it's too late. So ladies and gentlemen, even the messengers in the Bible were given riddles, and God didn't always tell them or explain everything. And you know, folks, even in this day, in our time, I have shared this over and over, that the nation of America is going to rhyme with the events that took place for the nation of Judah when Jerusalem was invaded and overcome. And once again, we're going to see the chain of events occur where the land is going to be squeezed and surrounded by an enemy. And the enemy is going to have several faces. And the enemy is going to have different sorts of weaponry. But the enemy is coming to America, ladies and gentlemen. That's the message right now. And for those that have the ears to hear, please hear me, my friends. This thing is not going to be stopped. Based on what I am observing, America has not repented. America has not had reformation. So this is what's going to happen, folks. In verse 20 of Ezekiel 17, when Ezekiel was speaking to the people, I will spread my net over him, talking about the king of Judah, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and I will try him there for the treason he has committed against me. I will spread my net, my snare. Ladies and gentlemen, the net has been tossed, and it's floating down toward the land of America. And the net is going to be a snare that catches a lot of people off guard. Because the end result of this judgment on America is not going to be the outcome that makes sense to the natural mind of man. My friends, I cannot say this enough. The arm of the flesh is not going to stop this. And because it's going to fail, we're going to have an outcome. We're going to have an aftermath. There are going to be images of how this thing's going to play out. Our topic today happens to do with the coming civil war, the coming tyranny, and the coming attack of the sword. And I'm about to talk about this now. He has sent his signs, his prophetic tokens. He has sent riddles. He has sent glimpses that are playing out as parables. God's warnings are being spoken right now. And then eventually they're going to turn into the banners of what happened. The remembrance happens in the aftermath. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that if you consider yourself a part of the remnant, I can't say this enough, that the remnant of God understands how this thing's going to happen. And folks, we can know how it's going to happen because God always warns us in advance. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 45. Now, I've been sharing that the Civil War is coming, and I've been talking about how in the first Civil War, from 1861 to 1865, approximately 700,000 Americans died. It was brutal. It was bloody. Those of you that are students of history, you're aware of this. I know that in our time, there's a disconnect because it was so long ago. Folks, the Civil War was horrible. And once again, because of the direction that America is going, it's going to happen again. Okay, folks, this is going to be the end of part A. Please go to part B of this program, already in progress.